Yes, Sir Andre has become petty and shallow, and aged since he's been with that woman. Once upon a time, he was planning on being a professor, and yesterday he was boasting that he's finally become a member of the district council. He's a council member, but Protopopov is still chairman. The whole town is laughing, talking about it, and he's the only one who sees and knows nothing. Tonight, Evagon runs to the fire, but he sits by himself in his room and pays no attention. All he does is play the violin. Oh, it's horrible. Horrible.
Irina weeps.
I cannot stand it anymore. I cannot.
Olga comes in and begins tidying up. Irina sobs. Olga is alarmed.
I have to get out. Throw me out. I can't stand this anymore.
What's wrong? What's wrong, dearest?
Where did it go? Where is it? My God. My God. I've forgotten everything. Forgotten it all. It's all tangled in my mind. I can't remember the Italian for a window or a ceiling. I'm forgetting everything. Every day I forget more, and life keeps passing, and it will never, ever come back, and we will never get to Moscow. I can see that we won't.
Dearest. Oh,
I'm miserable. I can't work, and I won't work. Enough.
Irina gets herself under control.
I was a telegraph operator, and now I'm a clerk at the council, and I loathe, despise everything they give me to do. I'm almost 24. I've been working for years. My brain has dried up. I've gotten skinny and ugly and old. And I've got nothing. Nothing? No satisfaction. And time keeps passing. And I keep feeling I'm moving away from a genuine, beautiful life. Moving further and further into an abyss. I'm desperate. Desperate. Why am I still alive? Why haven't I killed myself?
Don't cry, little one. Don't cry. It hurts me.
I won't cry. See, I'm not crying. Enough.
Dearest, I'm speaking to you as your sister, as a friend. If you'd like my advice, marry the Baron.
Irina weeps quietly.
You respect him. You think highly of him. True, he's not handsome, but he's decent. Good. People don't marry for love, but for duty. At least, that's the way I see it, and I would marry without love. Anyone who was interested in me, I'd marry him. I mean, if he was a good man, I'd even marry an old man.
I was hoping we'd move to Moscow, and my true love would find me there. I dreamt about him, loving him, but it's nonsense, foolishness, nothing.
Olga puts her arms around Irina.
Darling, my fair sister, I understand. When the Baron resigned his commission and came to us in a suit jacket, he looked so plain. I started to cry. He asked me, "Why are you crying?" How could I tell him? But if it's God's will that he marry you, I will be very happy. That would be completely different. Completely different.
Natasha, with a candle in her hand, walks across the stage without speaking. Masha sits up.
She prowls around like she's the one who started the fire.
Mashenka, you're ridiculous. You're the most absurd one in the family, that's you.
Olga is suddenly ashamed.
Please forgive me.
My sisters, I want to make a confession. My heart is too full. I must confess to you and never again to anyone ever. I'll speak my piece now. This is my secret, and you must know all of it. I can't keep silent. I love. I love that man. You have just seen him.
Stop it.
Well, there it is.
It doesn't matter.
I love Vershina.
I'm not listening.
Olga goes behind her screen.
Olya, what can I do? At first he seemed strange. Then I felt sorry for him. Then I fell in love with his voice, his words, his sorrow, his two little girls, with him.
I'm not listening to you. Doesn't matter. Whatever absurd, ridiculous things you say, I won't listen. Doesn't matter.
Oh, Olya, silly, silly girl. I love. This love is my fate. So that's it. And he loves me. It's frightening. Yes. And it will end badly.
Masha takes Irina by the hand and draws her close.
Oh, my dear, somehow we get through our lives. What will become of us? When you read a novel, everything is so clear and easy to understand. But when you fall in love yourself, you realize that no one knows anything about it at all, and everyone has to decide things on their own. My dears, oh, my sisters, I've confessed to you, and now I must be silent, like the madman in Gogol's short story. Silent. Silent.
Andre enters. Ferapont follows him, but only as far as the doorway.
What do you need? I don't understand.
Andrei Sergeyevich, I told you 10 times!
In the first place, I am not Andrei Sergeyevich to you, but your honor.
The firemen, your highness, want to know if they can go through the garden to get to the river, or they will have to keep going around and around. This is torture!
All right, tell them all right.
Ferapont exits.
I'm sick and tired of it. Where's Olya?
Olga comes from behind her screen.
I came to get the key to the cupboard. I've lost mine. You've got one of those little keys.
Olga gives her brother Andre the key in silence. Irina goes behind her screen.
What a fire. It's calming down. Damn it, Ferapont got on my nerves. I was ridiculous. Your honor. Why are you silent, Olya? It's time to stop being silly. Stop sulking and acting superior. You're here, Masha. Irina's here. Excellent. Let's speak openly once and for all. What have you all got against me? What?
Leave it, Andre. We can deal with this tomorrow. What an agonizing night.
Don't be upset. I'm asking calmly, what do you have against me? Say it straight out.
Vershinin sings from offstage.
Ram tam tam.
Masha stands and sings.
Da-da-dum. Good night, Olya. God bless you. Sleep in peace, darling Arisha. Good night, Andryusha. Now go. They're exhausted. Tomorrow you can clear things up.
Masha goes out.
Really, Andryushka, let's put it off till tomorrow. It's time for bed.
Olga goes behind her screen. Andre appears to be alone on stage.
I'll just say this and then I'll go. First of all, you have something against Natasha, my wife. And I've noticed that from the day of our wedding. Natasha is a splendid woman, hardworking, straightforward, noble. That's my opinion. I love and respect my wife, you understand? I respect her, and I insist that other people respect her. I repeat, she's a hard-working, honorable person, and all your criticisms are superficial. Secondly, you seem to be angry with me because I'm not a professor doing research. But I serve our country. I'm a member of the council, and I consider this service as sacred and elevated as service to scholarship. I'm a member of the local government, and I'm proud of it, if you even care to know how I feel. And thirdly, I've got something else. I mortgaged the house without asking your permission. For that I am guilty, yes. And I beg you to forgive me. I was driven to it by my debts. 35,000. I stopped gambling. I gave up cards a long time ago. And the important thing I can say in my defense is that you girls get a pension from father. But I have no income.
Kuligin, upset, is at the door.
Masha's not here? Where is she? This is strange.
Kuligin exits.
You're not listening. Natasha is an excellent, hard-working woman.
Andre paces up and down the stage, then stops to speak.
When we married, I thought we'd be happy. All of us. Happy. But my God!
Andre weeps.
Dearest sisters, precious sisters, don't believe me. Don't believe me.
Andre exits. Kuligin is again at the door.
Where is Masha? Isn't Masha here? So peculiar.
Kuligin goes out. The stage appears empty. A fire bell rings. There is a knocking on the floor from below. Irina speaks, hidden behind her screen.
Olya, who's knocking on the floor?
It's the doctor. He's drunk.
What a crazy night. Olya?
Irina peeks out from behind her screen.
Did you hear? They're taking the brigade away. They're being transferred to someplace far away.
It's only a rumor.
We'll be alone then. Olya!
Yes?
Dearest, precious, I respect the Baron, I do. He's a fine man. I'll marry him, I will, if only we can go to Moscow. I beg you, let's go. In the whole world, there's nothing better than Moscow. Let's go, Olya, let's go!